This is Helena's number one source for news and information. News Talk 1240 KBLL. Now, it's time for Helena's number one local talk show, Coffee Break. Here's Jay Scott.
Well, the author of the book, Okay, God, Now What?, will tell us about positive affirmations.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and their guests on News Talk 1240 KBLL are not necessarily the views and opinions of News Talk 1240 KBLL, its management, staff, employees, advertisers, or associates.
This is a Monday, July 2nd. Don Mann is on the phone. We kind of had to wave him off on Friday because of the fire and various other things, and we apologize for that, first of all, but he has very graciously consented to come back this morning. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Jay. How y'all doing?
Hey, well, a lot better than we were on Friday, I can tell you.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Things were kind of scrambling the latter part of the week, but I think you were on the line for a news update. The fire we were concerned about is just about 100% contained, and out east they've got some major fires going on, but there's not a lot of population out there. Oh, I shouldn't say that. There's enough population that some homes are being evacuated and that sort of thing. You have written the book, Okay, God, Now What?, and you've also written the book, Prayer Battle for Healing, Field Manual 2. I suppose the first thing we ought to do is get a little bio of yourself. What do you want to be when you grow up? You've done a lot of things over the course of your life.
My career starts with being in the Air Force. You talked about the Army Air Corps earlier. I was
right.
My mother was actually in the Army Air Corps. She wore paratrooper boots.
Oh, my goodness. When my father was in the Army Air Corps, he was a ground crew for a P-38. So, okay.
And,
all right, so congratulations again to those folks, yeah.
Yes, absolutely, thank you. And then I went into the military and in the Air Force as an officer, and then went into work in research and development. Spent most of my life in high technology and the business of high technology, and then switched over into banking and finance. And in the course of that, I experienced a lot of very interesting things. One of the things that I did, for example, as a businessman, I went into a division of a company who was losing money, and in 6 years with the same exact people, they were producing $500 million worth of business.
So you turned them around.
And I've done similar kinds of things in other companies. And in the process of doing that, one of the things that I do continually is I pray a lot. I mean, some of these things drive you to your knees when you go to a town. The business is the one that's in the town, the major providing of economy for the area, and you've got to change the situation and fix it, and really, literally drove me to my knees. I learned how to pray in a better way, and the effect of it was that some of these fantastic turnarounds and growths that I was able to achieve, and I started saying, okay, well, how did I do what I did? You know, somebody asked, well, how do you do it? I says, well, I pray, and then I watch what God does. And that wasn't very satisfactory to a lot of people. I started to get understanding in how the brain works. And that's when I discovered about the power of affirmations or slogans to control your thinking and arm yourself for whatever comes in the future.
One of the reviewers of your book talks about biblical technology, and I want to get to that in a couple of minutes. Back to the Air Force, R&D of what?
My R&D had to do with weapons, conventional guns and bombs and rockets, and a lot of the things that we ultimately worked on ended up being used, of course, in Iraqi freedom and still being used in Afghanistan.
Oh, you mean the smart bombs and that sort of thing?
The smart part was the smart bombs. The other part was guns that could actually shoot down a tank from the air.
Okay. Now, from there you went to banking and finance. How did that happen?
Actually, the defense industry around 96 or so, if you remember, that was when Mr. Clinton couldn't get funding for the troops to go to Bosnia.
Right.
Okay, the fruit of that was he sent the troops over there, but in order to pay for it, he cut the ammunition budget. Well, my company made ammunition. And so pretty soon we all of a sudden lost $75 million worth of contracts almost overnight, and that caused a restructuring of things. And I went into the chemical industry here in the Wilmington, Delaware area, and then from there transferred into banking and finance, really as a change agent to change the corporate culture of how the bank was running.
Okay, and obviously you were successful. How did you do it?
Well, the way that I did it in the bank was really what I'd done all my life was, number one, I pray.
Uh-huh.
Number two, I spend an hour a day at least in the Bible. And number three is I start working with people, and in the same condition, one of the differences between the military background and a lot of people you talk about in commerce is they'll bring in their own team of people. You know, when they turn around a division or corporation, you remember some of the famous people have done that. Chainsaw Al Dunlap, for example, and they would bring in their own management team and work with them to change around the company. I never had that option. I was given, just like in the military, you're given a mission and say they tell you, here's your people, make it happen. And so part of what you do is you learn how to talk to people to create a success-oriented environment for them in such a way that they're willing to try and work to succeed at what looks to be impossible. And I've gotten kind of good at that, as my track record shows. And what I learned was that you create an environment where it's safe for people to succeed, which means it's safe for them to try things. Matter of fact, the biggest thing I have a problem with is somebody who doesn't try anything.
1240 KBLL and Coffee Break. We will take a break. Don Mann, the author of OK God, Now What? We'll get around to the point when he has maybe said that a few times, OK God, Now What? And find out what God said to him as Coffee Break continues. 1240 KBLL and Coffee Break. We continue with Don Mann, the author of the book OK God, Now What? And Prayer Battle for Healing, Field Manual 2. All right, let's drop back. Your first experience was this with the ammo company that you mentioned, that all of a sudden you've got this mission and you're trying to turn this thing around, and you've mentioned a couple times you were driven to your knees by situations. Was that the first time, or was there something before that?
I think that was the first time that I realized what I was doing. Okay,
so you had done it before? What had you done before?
I had been working prior to that, of course, in research and development with the Air Force as an Air Force officer. And then I moved into the as a research scientist for the Army, working on tank and artillery ammunition. And a lot of the technical problems that we had to solve were, on paper, unsolvable at the time. And as we developed that, of course, that's when I got in the habit of praying about what I was doing at work. When I was doing that, it was more the technical end. And, you know, the source of all things in this earth, or God created them. He knows them. He knows how they work. He knows what to do with them. And so that was more the technical end. And then as I moved up into higher levels of management, I saw the problem really wasn't the technology as much as it was the people. And, of course, people are the answer. Each individual is special and unique, created by God, crafted for wonderful and powerful things. And really the secret is to get them to the place where they can operate freely. So I did that in the government arena, and then got recruited actually to go work for what was then called Olin Corporation. It's now part of General Dynamics, those divisions. And worked my way up through to where I got to be in charge of more and more responsibility, and then got given some problems that nobody else could solve. I solved them, and then got given a big one, which was an operating division that was failing and didn't appear to have anywhere to go but out, and they were actually going to sell it if I couldn't turn it around. And I guess they probably sent me in there with the attitude of, well, if we'll give it one last try, we'll see what Don can do.
And if he can't do it, we're going to sell it, or something like that.
That was pretty much it.
Were you brought up in a religious family with a lot of religious training, or did all of this come later in life?
I think, I grew up in the South, and grew up as actually in a Catholic family, and learned some good habits about prayer there. And then, of course, I went to college, and I went to church one time looking for the pretty girls. I didn't see any that appealed to me, so that was the last time I saw church in college. And then later on, when I had children, well, actually, my wife had them. I got to be part of the process.
So you must have found a pretty girl in some place.
Yeah. I certainly did, a real beauty. And so I started wanting the best for my children. At the end of the day, my dad was killed in Korea when I was 3 years old. And so I know that it doesn't matter what your plans are. It doesn't really matter where you stand today. There's no guarantee for the next breath, much less tomorrow or the week or the year after. And if you're not prepared for what's going to happen at your next breath, then the whole lot of effort that we spend our time in doesn't really go anywhere.
All right. So what was it that finally triggered you? I mean, you said you'd been driven to it a couple of times. You've done things without realizing it. What was it specifically that you did, and then the last chunk of the equation came in, and you said, you know, I think I figured this out. When did you finally figure it out?
Really, that was about figuring out what I was doing. I started to get the glimmer of it 5-10 years ago, as I started to learn to understand how the human brain works. One of the first things that hit me really hard was that while Jesus came to the earth as God, he operated as a man. And therefore, he operated in a human body, just like ours. And the way he operated was consistent with the way God designed the human body to operate. And part of what he did was learn how he thinks. And so as the science has been working at uncovering how we think, how we operate, what we do. They've discovered a couple of marvelous things. One is that we operate 95% of the energy that's consumed in our brain goes to our subconscious mind, not our conscious aware mind. The mind that you're listening to me with now, the one that you're listening to this wonderful radio station, that same mind is only occupying 5% of the energy that goes to your brain.
Boy, that explains a lot. No. All right,
yeah. Well, actually, the way it kind of works is, to put it simply, is what's written in your subconscious mind is designed, it assesses and receives things. You see it on the sports field, for example. When a player has got his subconscious mind perfectly tuned in with his sport, he operates almost without thought, seamlessly, and then the body, the physical body, works, and the brain doesn't, the cognitive mind doesn't get in the way except kind of directing you where to go next. We call that in the zone. Or
yeah, flowing. I was going to say, athletes call that in the zone. I don't think I've ever been anywhere near the zone, although I've watched some people in it. Yeah.
Yes, and what they've done is they've trained their subconscious mind how to excel in their particular sport or activity. Well, at the end of the day, all of us are training our subconscious mind all the time, and it produces the life that we're now living, whatever that is.
Okay, what do most of us do with that subconscious mind that isn't what you would want ultimately for a result? What are we doing wrong, I guess, is the question.
Okay, well, the way to maximize what's going on in your subconscious mind, first of all, is to get the right, proper, timeless, eternal information to base your life on. Of course, that's the Bible. The second thing is that what's written on your mind is the environment that you experience, either what you do accidentally because it just happens around you, or you choose to make it happen for you. So you're a reflection of whatever you've chosen to do, and also a reflection of whatever's happened accidentally. Most people have it happen to them accidentally and aren't even aware how to do it in an organized, controlled manner. Yet the information on how to do that, the Bible calls this renewing the mind. Okay, that process was well-understood technology in the days of the Bible, but has only been rediscovered now through modern science and actually through high-performance areas like airline pilots, sports, medical professionals, that kind of nature, understanding how it actually works and how to make it work.
But it's in the Bible someplace?
It's absolutely in the Bible. The essence of renewing your mind is constant repetition with strong, positive emotions of the good word of God. That's the core of it. The problem is, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a period of time and a period of effort before it gets written on your heart. And here's how the brain works. As you go through every moment of the day, your subconscious mind is assessing almost independently of your cognitive mind what's going on around you and looking for the right slogans or affirmations to send to you in your cognitive arena so that you'll do the things that are consistent with your past, whatever that is. So your past keeps telling you what to do for your next step. And so the subconscious mind, when it's written with the things of God, the things of as it says in Philippians 4, says everything pure, perfect, lovely, just, of good report, praiseworthy, that kind of thing, they come up and keep you moving forward in the right direction, not only for your interrelationship with people, but of course your interrelationship with God, whatever happens. So the reason I wrote OK God Now What was sort of to answer the question, really two questions. Just like these people that have been the tragedy of the wildfire and their lives have been totally disrupted, or what happened here on the East Coast, this weekend was a storm came by and all of a sudden Washington, D.C. is still without power.
Yeah.
Okay. Baltimore is still without power. Major metropolitan areas without power. Damage. And what do you do now? How do you call on God? What happens to you? Well, here's the first thing. Whatever your habit was before the disaster, that will be your first habit after. So if you're used to finding fault, accusing, blaming others for what's going on around you, then your first attitude will be the same sort of thing, and that really induces a spirit of fear within you. And when that happens, your brain shuts down because you now have put yourself into the classic flight or freeze response. Your brain narrows down so that it only wants to do the thing to get out of that fearful situation, and you can't think creatively. You can't come up with new ideas. You can't look around you and assess properly the data because all you want to do is get out of there.
And that's because of what you've programmed your brain to do from your past life?
That's all because you've trained your brain to do that on a continual basis in a variety of different ways. So if you want to change how you respond to the current situation, you have to go through a forced program of mind renewal and a strict discipline to get your brain thinking so it'll help you, because the chief thing is you don't want to drop into fear. Remember the story of Peter when he got out of the boat and started walking the water?
Yeah, and he didn't walk so well for a while.
And he was walking on the water for a while. Nobody talks about Peter walking on the water. They all talk about Jesus walking on the water.
Yeah.
But Peter, a mere normal human being, unborn again, walked on water.
And then
he got fearful by looking at the storms and the waves around him. And as he started to get fearful, what's amazing is he didn't sink like a rock. Okay? He sank slowly, slowly enough where he could say, "Hey, Jesus, help me, I'm sinking." And Jesus came over and helped him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the issue is he started to get in fear at the circumstances around him. All of us live in a world that doesn't have all pleasant things happening all the time. The Scripture says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all." When that's your first response to a situation, no matter how bad it is, okay, God's going to be with me, God's going to help me, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, he makes me lie down in green pastures, those kinds of positive, strong things start becoming the first thing that happens to you because your subconscious has been trained that way. Your attitude toward problems is vastly different. When I got sent into that division that was failing, and when I walked in there, I can assure you that nobody liked me when I came in. I was the guy from headquarters, far away, you know, this was really interesting. And so that I did was say, "Okay, Lord, you're going to help me, you're going to show me, and we're going to make this thing work because what we're doing is important and valuable, and it will succeed." That was my general attitude. And I just started doing, I was really lived the answer to my own prayers to do it. You can live the answer to your own prayers the same way. As you start to reprogram your brain, work at it, you know, as God told Moses, says, "Choose life or choose death, the choice is up to you." Choose to put in your mind on a regular program basis the positive things of God that causes us to overcome in this life. Then as you do that, no matter what happens, your response will be, first of all, you won't go into fear. That's the key thing. The second is you'll come up with creative answers and God can talk to you what to do next.
1240 KBLL and Coffee Break. Don Mann is the author of OK God, Now What? We'll bring up the old Irish Murphy's Law and maybe how to reprogram that as Coffee Break continues. 1240 KBLL and Coffee Break. We continue with Don Mann, the author of the book, OK God, Now What? OK, he says, one of the phrases that I grew up with, Irish family, Murphy's Law, anything that can go wrong will go wrong. Heard that over and over and over and over. I'm guessing that you've got something that will counteract that, because that's kind of where I was coming from a long time ago. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. How do you get around that?
Okay, well, there's two levels of what can go wrong will go wrong. First of all, there's the levels of what you can manage. Okay, for example, many people don't realize that OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Hazard Administration. Okay. The Bible has put a railing around your roof so people don't fall off. The Bible has put a railing around a hole so people don't fall in. So there are things that you can do that are practical, realistic, solid for wherever your position is. But if you're operating in fear, you can't see them. So one of the things that we've done for people right away, while we explain a lot of this, how to do this, and okay, God, now what, a complete program plan, how to do it, to forcefully manage what's going on in your brain and how to respond better in the future, we provide available right now for people who call into my phone number, 1-800-903-6625. That's 1-800-903-6625. And I will send them a copy of Top 10 Affirmations to get them started. That'll get them moving to start training their brain in the right direction. And for the fifth caller, what I will do is give them a free copy of my book, OK God, Now What? And for anybody who's been damaged by the fire, contact me and I will get you a copy of the book.
Okay.
So again, the phone number is 1-800-903-6625.
Okay, give me an example of one of these affirmations. It strikes me that Murphy's Law is kind of the negative affirmation. What would be a positive affirmation?
Okay, I'm going to give you the very first one in here. It's a powerful Christian statement, and it goes like this. Father God, in the name of Jesus, use these confessions and affirmations to help me understand and walk in you and your great work in Jesus better. I am your son. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus uses me to save myself and others. He uses my hands, my mouth, my mind, and my entire life to bring your salvation to the earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for working in me and through me. Because I once believed Jesus rose from the dead, he is now in me, and I am forever his. Jesus' love goes out through me to others, wherever I am. God is good, to me and through me. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. That's affirmation number one.
Okay. So you give that. Now, you have mentioned a couple times that this is not this is not instant success.
No, it's not instant success. Now, I'll give you the explanation why.
Okay.
Okay. When God made Adam and Eve, he told them to subdue and establish dominion on the earth. Make it like heaven on earth. That was their command. Okay? Now, if you're going to go into hell on earth and make it into heaven on earth, if you're subject to every whim of things that happens in front of you, you won't last long. The slightest trouble, the slightest difficulty, the slightest resistance means you won't subdue, you won't fight, and you won't win. Jesus came here into the earth where nobody understood him. His brothers didn't understand him. The disciples didn't understand him. He talked about them having a hardened heart even while up to the last moment. Of course, the political authorities and the spiritual authorities didn't accept him. He didn't have anybody working for him and encouraging him on any kind of basis. But he encouraged himself in the Lord. He had learned how to do it as a child. And that became his resource. So the tool of the subconscious mind is designed by God to keep you going, even in the face of incredibly difficult and terrible circumstances. But like anything that takes time, like an oak tree, it takes time to build into your heart the right things. So what we've discovered is, in the world of science, is that it takes 2 to 6 hours a day for a minimum of 90 days every day in order to change the way someone looks and views at the world in a positive way.
That's an awful lot of time in a culture that says I don't have enough time to do much of anything.
Well, that's true if you try to make it a single event every day. But if you make it a lifestyle where you're doing it throughout the day on a continual basis, that's the secret of making it part of your life in every way. You start off small, tiny baby steps. With the affirmations I provide, the top 10 that you can get from my toll-free number, then all you got to do is start with the first one, work on it for a while, and you'll gradually work into the whole list of them, and it'll become things you can do anytime throughout the day.
Now, these are you memorizing, kind of like prayers or something like that?
You memorize them just like people of the Bible have memorized Scripture. That's part of the things we're required to do. The fun part is, for example, as it tells us in Ephesians, to be not drunk with wine, where is dissipation, but continue to be being filled with the Spirit, singing to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, make a melody in heart to the Lord. So we're talking about singing your way to a better mind all day long.
Okay, what's going to be the tip-off? You're doing this, and you're doing this, and you're doing this. Is there one thing you can say, all right, at some point, X will happen, and you'll start to get a clue about this? Is there a specific X, or, you know, when are you going to start seeing clues, and what kind of clues might there be?
Okay, what you'll start doing is that as you start to do the affirmations, you're really going through the process of, number one, developing a habit. Okay, we know that it takes 21 days for the neural connections to come together to establish a habit and start to write it in your subconscious mind. So you'll start seeing yourself easily, and once you start the process of, say, let's say you pick up first thing in the morning, you take 5 minutes to say affirmations 1 and 2. You'll start making that a habit to do it, and you'll start doing it consistently. What you'll discover, I had one guy describe it to me this way. Now, he was doing all the affirmations and, okay, God, now what? But he said, what's happened to my life is, I used to be like I was a piece of paper thrown around by everything that happened. All of a sudden, it feels now like I'm a flag attached to a flagpole, and no matter how high the wind blows, no matter how hard it is or what happens around me, I'm rooted and solid on the inside, and it feels really strange. So what you'll start to discover is you start to do the affirmations and make them consistent in your life. It's a function of how much diligence you put into it. If you don't put the time, you can't get the results. Just like going to the gym, right? You can say, I got a gym membership, but if you don't go to the gym and work out, it's not going to happen. In the same way, what he described was, says, I just feel like there's a part of me that's trained in the old ways of doing it, but something inside of me is now solid. I'm not moved by it anymore. I know God is there. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, went from being a children's song to something I live by. It makes a difference, and I can do anything.
All righty, I got a couple minutes left. How do we get a hold of the book, and what other books have you written?
Okay, the easiest way to get a hold of my book is it's available on Amazon. You can get it at many Christian stores may have it. If they don't have it, they can order it. It's at Borders and those kinds of stores, Amazon.com. If you contact me at 1-800-903-6625, that's 1-800-903-6625, I'll be glad to send you right away the top 10 affirmations to get you going. If you're the fifth caller, you get a free copy of the book. And if you've been damaged in any way by the fires, I'll be glad to send you a copy of the book and a Bible if you want one. So the book is readily available in lots of different places. And, of course, I'm glad to pray for anybody or help any way I can if they give me a call.
Got a website we can look at?
Yes, and the website is called OKGodNowWhat.com.
Okay.
All right.
That makes sense.
The other books that I've written are two of them. It's called Battle Prayer for Divine Healing, Field Manual 2. This is actually part of the other part of my life besides the business world, has been in ministry of various kinds and discipling people how to walk in the love and grace and the glory of the Lord. And part of what we've learned how to do is to get answers to prayer for healing, and that book describes how to do it. It's not a theological book to study. It's actually a user's manual to use in the process of praying for someone. The other book is called
Field Manual 2. What happened to Field Manual 1?
Well, Field Manual 1 was actually a shorter version, a small little version that I had written that fit inside a lady's pocketbook really nice. And ladies would carry it around and go into hospitals, into people's homes and pray for them and see God answer prayer. And pastors started to want to use the book. But they didn't want to carry around this little book, so they wanted a bigger tool that they could use to preach from. Sometimes it takes reading a scripture for a long time in a particular problem. They wanted to have the scripture passages relevant to healing there. They wanted to have a tool for their own devotions, and so Field Manual 2 was born. And what's happened now is it's a regular book size now, but most people prefer Field Manual 2 because it's got everything in it.
All right, Don, I'm waiting for 3, but that's all. I'll probably be in a computer and fit on a chip or something like that. Don, man, thank you for your flexibility last week, and thanks for your time this morning.
Oh, thank you for having me. I certainly appreciate it.
We will adjourn it on that note for today.